It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Farron Stoth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Farron is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Farron cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Farron Stoth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Farron, and today we have one of our favorite guests with us again, John Burley. Real estate expert, man. He's my mentor, frankly, the guy that knows more about real estate than anybody I know. And that's why I invite John to our show periodically to share great information. So John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Great to be here. It is a very, very exciting year for the investor.
It's a crazy year, I think, really. So I guess the first question I always ask you, and by the way, folks, if you don't know who John Burley is, you should go to johnburley.com, 35-year-plus history in real estate investing. He's the real deal. He actually does it. He's a practitioner, not just an educator. He'll share more with you. But the first question I always ask John when he joins our show is, well, John, what's going on with real estate these days?
You know, real estate is, first of all, I want to publicly thank the media for introducing so much chaos and negativity into the world of finances, because all they do is create opportunities for us every day. You know, when I started out, as you know, decades ago in the brokerage business, and a real wise mentor of mine, you know, is like, hey, John, you know why they have stock market? And I was like, no, Paul, I don't. He goes, we have stock market to see if somebody did something stupid today. And boy, there's people who do something stupid every single day in investing. And in real estate, all the negativity, chaos, misinformation, correct information, wrong analysis of information, all the stuff that's going on just creates more and more fear in the marketplace, which creates more chaos, which creates more opportunities. If you know what you're doing, chaos is what you want. It is your friend. If you don't know what you're doing, it's not. And, you know, so... Yeah, it's great that you're listening to Farron's show. He's one of the great authorities in America. And by listening to the show, you'll know more of what you're doing. You'll learn better how to position yourself and how to take advantage of the chaos that's out there. And obviously, as we're moving close to an election now, almost upon us, I mean, the chaos is just going to get greater and greater, you know, every day, every hour, every minute. And so we just look for, you know, I try not to spend my time, Farron's, obsessing or spending too much of my emotional energy on stuff I have absolutely no control of, because I can't change it.
Smart.
Yeah,
right.
I can't change it. I mean, so on the presidential election, look, all I can do is place my vote with my conscience and my heart, like most of your listeners are doing. And then always remember, regardless of the outcome, God's in charge and he was never surprised. So he's not surprised. I have no idea why some people get in the White House to get in the White House, but I do know and believe it's never been a surprise to God. And so we need to remember that in those moments for those of you that are believers. But the opportunities just are out there. You know, both of the candidates running now, I mean, you can't get much more polar opposite, although they're trying – there is one of the candidates is trying to look more like the other one. But, you know, either way, I mean, and first of all, look, neither of them gets to do what they said, because in reality, if you could do what you said, well, hell, you'd already done it. I mean, if you could do everything you said, you would have already done it, because it's not like they haven't been in office. And so it's like so much of it's rhetoric, but the rhetoric moves the market. It changes the emotions of market, it adds chaos, and that just means more opportunity for us. So we're seeing in the market itself a lot of data out by Shiller and a lot of different people, but just in the street where I live, you know, in the real world, you know, we're seeing that probably it varies from markets, but there's reports out about 25 to 40% of all properties that are listed through multiple listing nationally are discounting their price before they sold. So right off the bat, if you're looking to buy your home, you don't need to walk in and pay listing price. You know, there are very few properties are we doing bidding wars or something. And if you're getting in a bidding war on a property, you know, I'd really make sure that you can afford it, because you're getting emotional. And you know, one of the most important things I learned from a friend named Keith out of Texas is, look, when our emotions go up, our intellect goes down. And so when you're in a high emotional state, you need to not be making financial decisions. Probably shouldn't be having conversations with the missus either, because, you know, you're going to say something stupid right that moment. And so, you know, we like to keep control of our emotions. And so, you know, if you're not overly emotionally involved in a property, Which is an investor, you never should be, but your own home, it's okay to be a little bit, but just be aware of it because there's a lot of properties out there that are selling right now today for pretty substantial discounts off what the list price is because the markets are slowing down. We're moving into a real, most areas of the country, we're moving into a balanced market. It's not overly favoring the seller, it's not overly favoring the buyer. Prices are sideways, softening in most markets. But if you want to sell your house in a timely manner, you ain't getting what you got 6 months or even 3 months ago for the property. You're gonna have to take a little bit of a haircut to move it quickly. You know, as an
And that
investor, we're obviously
and John, that's a big change from the last few years.
We're moving back into normal markets. I mean, markets
Yeah.
always move. People,
Right.
too many people forget that the one constant in the market, and we're talking all equity markets, but focusing on the real estate right now, the one constant is that the market is always moving, always changing. You know, I tell people that, you know, if we were to look at a chart, you'd have a straight line that trends upwards, and that would be what real estate equity markets do. Over the long run, they go up. But then while that's going on, there's this wavy curve that's, you know, about every 10 to 14 years, we hit a new high, and then we hit a new low. Peaked over and over and over again. Then every 60 to 90 years, we get a 2008. And those literally are singular 60 to 90 year events. There's been four of them in the history of the United States of America. So these guys are like, there's a crash coming next week. Okay, based on what? Because you have no data nor chart. And I have the big chart that goes back to 65 that shows us these only happen every 60 to 90 years. So there's, you know, there is no big chart on the horizon. Obviously, interest rates coming down. They came down half a point. You know, there's some people are a little bit off. There was an awful lot of emotion over 50 basis points. And it's, you know, it's a nice drop and it's good, but it's not like we're taking a property that was never going to work and it's suddenly now the greatest investment in your life. It's half a point. It's a move and it's a good move and we're happy about it. But the media and boy, the social media, the quote unquote experts on social media, you guys are awfully excited about half percent interest point. I mean, it's not like they just dropped it down to 3% or something. It came down half a point.
Right.
And it will
I
continue to.
think part of that comes from the Federal Reserve's never moved interest rates a half a point up or down in their history outside of a crisis.
Yeah. And I think that's, I think the problem. Is some of the people making the rules is they're buying into the chaos that isn't always there.
Right.
So again, you know, if one takes their emotion out of the marketplace, if one takes their emotion out of all the different views and news that's pouring and just uses their common sense, God-given intellect, there was no chaos reason to drop interest rates half a point.
Oh, I criticized them big time. I was like, I could see a quarter point drop, but the half a point drop, my opinion was overreaction and was going to just create more anxiety.
Yeah, just and more, I think because, and this isn't at all bad, it just is. I think because of the internet, computers, the media shifting how they report versus how they did 10 or 20 years ago, you know, everybody in the world having a platform to share their information, whether they're, you know, have any clue what they're doing or not, it is just exasperated to where I'd never seen in my overall emotion, the mob emotion, be so large. I mean, when people were reading the Wall Street Journal, and I'm not saying this is bad, but you know, when people were reading the journal and there was no social media and the news was very slow on their responses around financial markets, the chaos was much less.
It's a lot harder to cut through the noise these days,
Yeah, it
like you
is.
said.
And as you know, that, you know, right now, the great traders of our country, you know, that top couple percent, I mean, they're thriving greater than they have in any times in markets that aren't, you know, making any huge moves. There's just huge emotions. And so people are, you know, buying and selling all over the place willy-nilly based on emotions. And, you know, man, you know, as a professional trader, I mean, that's your death sentence. It was unfortunately far too much what the common man does. You know, I first learned it from a friend of mine, Andrew, who owned a seat on the Chicago trade. He was, you know, a commodities broker and he owned a seat. And he was like, you know, do you know what we call regular investors? And I'm like, no. And theirs is a zero sum game. So one person makes money, one person loses money. You can't both win. like you can't buy a stock, have it go up, make money, sell it to me. I then hold on to it. It goes up and we both make money. It's win-win. We're both happy guys. That's not how a commodity market works. It's a zero-sum game. One guy wins, one guy loses. They call investors pigs. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of an obnoxious thing to call your clients. They're like, well, they're not our clients. That's who we get our money from. And they're like, well, why do you call them pigs? And he goes, well, regular people who lose all the time, and they were talking about 90% in their opinion of the market of investors, they whine and squeal all the time, and then they run to their slaughter. And it's like, okay, I think it's a little offensive, but I get why you call the acronym. I get what you're saying. I mean, and it was just, you know, they were like, it's because they trade on their emotions. They trade on their emotions, so they get in when it's high. Then when it goes down, they sell. The worst thing, what the normal trader does is when the market goes up, they sell to take a small profit so they can have a win and go, woohoo, I won, I made money. And then when the market goes down, they hold on to the stocks that are down. So they, in essence, do, you know, the most fundamental, if you were to take one sentence that was ever said about stock market real estate investing that's accurate, is ride your winners and cut your losers. Yet most human beings do the exact opposite. They sell the winners so they can have that endurance, that high of I'm a winner, I won, look at me. And then the bad stock, they hold on to waiting for it to come back, not even factoring in. It's like, wow, 40% of your portfolio is now sitting in stocks that are dead that you're hoping to come back so you can be break-evensies. But what about all the money you lost not buying something that made money?
Right.
You know, and when we do real estate, we do the same thing. It's like, you know, we look at placing ourselves into the assets that are making money today, right now. We do our investing almost exclusively direct investing. A lot of people, you know, they invest in some of the different REITs and the different funds that are out there. And there's some really good performers and there's some really not good performers, just like anything else. You know, and what we teach people to do is just to do what we've done for the last 35 years, is how to direct invest their own portfolio, you know, how to manage themselves if they want to learn how to manage it, or how to identify and find really good operators and managers for your own portfolio.
Well, John, if this sounds interesting to somebody and they want more information, you have an event coming up in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so we do our event in Phoenix, Arizona, and it is literally, we were looking at, it has been almost 20 years since I've done a weekend event outside of Arizona.
Wow.
With that said, yeah, so we just don't travel anymore. If you, I used to do the big international tours. I had a young family. They're not young anymore, but you know, we just cut that out.
So tell our listeners if they want to attend your event in
Yeah.
Cincinnati, when, where,
So
how do they
November 9th,
contact you?
November 9th and 10th in Cincinnati, and you can go to johnburley.com, JohnBurley.com, and get information on it. It's a great event, super low entry, and look forward to seeing a bunch of your listeners there.
Yeah, awesome. Well, folks, I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned. The next segment, we have John with us all day, and we're going to do something very special in Phoenix, John. You and I are going to do an event together January 18th, Saturday. Put that on your
Yeah.
calendar.
Yeah, I
Stay
am
tuned.
and so excited.
Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe, and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. And if you want to contact me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. Again, that's yourpersonalbank.com. Today, though, we have a very special guest, one of our favorite, John Burley, real estate expert, educator, and real life practitioner. And John, and he's my real estate mentor too. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Really enjoyed our first segment. Love your show so much. And it's awesome to see it continue to grow and hit so many markets. And I am really looking forward to our event together in January in Phoenix.
Yes, put this on your calendar, folks. January 18th, it'll be in Phoenix. We don't have a location yet. 9 to 5, we know the time, but John and I are going to be doing a joint event together, a financial and real estate event. And basically, we're going to tag team this information, and then we'll finish up with a Q&A panel. And I'm really excited about working with you, John, also. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's exciting. We've been talking about it for a while, and it's great that we get our schedules aligned where we can, you know, both do it.
That took a while. But anyway, yes, we got it worked out. So folks that were listening to the first segment, one of the things you brought up, John, I thought was very poignant, was the chaos, the noise, everything that's going on these days in the economy, and removing the emotion from investing decisions, which is extraordinarily difficult to do as human beings. So what do you recommend for somebody who's an investor or a real estate investor? What steps should they take to kind of remove that noise?
Yeah, and as you know, I've been fortunate enough to work with and train a lot of people who became exceptional. We actually have, we created something in the early 90s called the Burley Century Club. And those were people who came, went through our program, who have over 100 properties in portfolio, cash flowing. I mean, not to toot their horns, but I'm literally, you know, on the low end, they're making 25 to 40,000 a month net in their pocket after real expenses. And many of them make six figures monthly. And we have over 1,000 of these students. So this isn't like, you know, a small thing, because we really focus on the emotional side, you know? And so I think for people, you know, the first thing is like, look, 80% of people operate and invest almost entirely on emotion. And, you know, if you were to talk to CPAs who have actual tax returns, not what people say they make, but what they actually show the government they made, which is the real number, 80% can't hit the benchmarks. 80% can't beat the S&P 500. 80%, unless they want to change their psychology and emotions. You know, so the first thing is like, look, I want to get out of the 80%. What's the next step? Well, understand that there's layers of our psychology and how we control it. I know what I would call literally, they're just stone, not in the top 2%, and they're in the top 0.02%. And they trade literally almost like a human being without emotions. And that is the most effective traders I've ever seen. They don't put their emotions in their investments. We've done thousands and thousands and thousands of real estate transactions. I'm not emotionally involved in any of them. I never have, and I never will. I just care about the money and the numbers. Does it make sense? And are we doing something that's wanted and the right thing in the neighborhood, which is more and more important in today's world? And so I think for people, the first thing is, you know, to start to consciously make a decision that I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to pause. And I'm going to look at my own perceptions and my own involvement with my own investments and acknowledge their effect. You know, market goes up and you buy or sell. Market goes down, you buy and sell, you know, on knee-jerk reactions. I hate to tell you this, but you're in the bottom 80%. I mean, Warren Buffett was right. The average person should just buy their damn stocks and not look at the market for 10 years.
Well, John, I can vouch for that, because, you know, I work with a lot of people when they set up these personal banks, where they, you know, they're earning 5-6% guaranteed tax-free. It's highly liquid, and a lot of people don't want the liquidity. It's a blessing that I've also seen where it's a curse. In other words, they'll access the funds to invest in, like you said, stocks, real estate, or something else. They would have been better off getting their 6% tax-free.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Every year. Look, and I'm saying the 6% what everybody should shoot for. Absolutely not.
Right.
However, if you're going to trade on emotions, just understand the market will slaughter you. She will slaughter you. And it's not an if, it's a when. And people all the time are like, wow, I can't believe the market went down. I had more out now than ever before. Well, of course. And that would have been the same whether it was 5 years ago or 5 years from now. You were going to have more out, more exposed, more not there. So it's literally understanding, you know, how to trade and why we do it. It's one of the reasons why I went into the residential real estate market predominantly. Because it moves slow. And the number we're looking for is we're looking for the cash flow number. We're not looking for the price number. And real estate's like everything else. I don't understand. So many educators teach people like, oh yeah, you want to buy really cheap real estate. It's like, when has cheap been good ever? I mean, it's like, that'd be like, hey, you know, you want to go buy a really cheap car. What could go wrong? Well, sucker could break down the side of the freeway. So, I mean, I don't do, you know, what they call Class C. Wall Street had to make up a new term because they were investing in such bad neighborhoods. They weren't even Class D. We love just Class B neighborhood. I call it Lunch Pail Joe. Every that I've done, and it's thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Every property that we've done, We still right now today. And if you want to see how we do it, come see me in Cincinnati, November 9th and 10th, and I'll spend 2 days telling you verbatim and answer every question you could think of. We right now today are making 10 to 25% cash flow on every property. Our internal rate of returns are 35 to 70%. We've been doing this for 35 years. It's a very, very simple model with a lot of details and parts that are behind the scenes that we've already perfected. And we just teach people our model.
If somebody's interested in more information on that, John, where do they go?
Yeah, easy way. Just go to johnburley.com. There's a slider on the top of the page. Slide over to the November event in Ohio. Book a ticket and we'll see you there. There is also some really awesome downloads for you on the front page that are free that you can download and get more information on how we raise money, on how we do real estate, on how we do money and how we do stuff. It's just a lot of people out there trying to do the same thing in the same way at the same time.
And I can vouch for this from the, you know, I went through about 9 days of training with John. And when he started talking, you did probably 75, 80% of what you were discussing was the mental part of it, of it's treating it like a business. And that's when I knew you were for the real deal, because I do the same. My wife, I remember early in my career working with, you know, financial plans with people, and she was shocked, and she's a social worker. Okay. And she was shocked by how she goes, "You do a lot more counseling than you talk about products." I said, "Yeah, because people got to get their head in the right place to be successful before they'll be successful."
On the very, very low end, 75 to 80% of investing in success is based on one's control of their psychology and emotions. And on the high level, it's probably 95% plus. So the buck a year traders, the traders I know that personally make over $1 million in earnings per year, every year, most of them for decades, including 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Those are actually the glory years, just so you guys know. If your psychology and emotions incorrect, when markets crash, it's your glory years. It's not on the timeline or horizon when you take the noise out. When you look at the facts, there's no big crash coming right now. You know, and you know, well, yeah, but so-and-so says, yeah, but so-and-so has been saying a big crash is coming every single year. I mean, how many years in a row does he need to be wrong for you to stop listening to him? They don't know what they're talking about. They just say crash so you'll buy their book. Because we all want to hear, we've been trained the negative emotion. With that said, I mean, a great crash is, quite frankly, what the high-end investors want. But the idea is it's not coming. And there is a lot of money being made right now by regular people, family home real estate, you know,
And when you say crash, you're referring primarily to the real estate market, because I do have some concerns, John, about the stock market at this point. Or
I have concerns. Look, I think almost every equity market in America, and quite frankly, around the globe, because some other countries are more overextended than we are. But I think the markets are overvalued. God, there's no question about that. However, they're overvalued due to the emotion and psychology of the 80 to 90% of the people who invest. And so they're overvalued. So, you know, again, we talked about in the first segment, I worry about things I can control. I can't control the overvaluation, but what I can do is I can go into an overvalued market and I can find the individual specific assets that are undervalued, which is what we teach people to do, and then buy those and then turn those into cash flow machines instantly. So the reality is, you know, if I'm making $500 or $1,000 a month on a home, net for real, after real cost, not on paper, but in the bank account, it really doesn't matter whether it's worth $400,000 or $250,000. I mean, I'd rather it was worth $500,000, but it doesn't matter if it goes down because of cash flows. And people go, well, how do you know that? You're just saying it's like, no, it's a fact, because 8 to 12, when we did have a great crash, my portfolio thrived more and we had a higher stay and pay rate than we did in the normal market. Because one of the things we do is we provide families home ownership. We become the de facto bank and we put people into homes and they own them. And we're investing in middle class blue collar America. And, you know, geez, right now today, I understand there's unemployment rates, but I mean, I live in the real world. You travel around the country. Your lifestyle is amazing. But I mean, where I live in the Phoenix, Arizona area, I mean, I don't mean to be mean to anybody, but look, if you're middle class, I'm not talking about you got a PhD in a specific science and, you know, you're waiting for an opening for that, you should be good for a while being unemployed. But I mean, if you're a regular guy or gal and you're unemployed in Phoenix, you just don't want to work. And I'm not being mean. It's just the truth. I mean, geez. I mean, you got fast food restaurants willing to start you in the low to mid 20s. And I have all kinds of friends who have who are looking for just not overly skilled or educated people, just regular people, and they're 50, 60, 70,000 a year to start. So, you know, if you're a regular person living in a regular home, i.e., my client, you can make money to pay for your home, for your family
Right.
to
It's
live
pretty
in.
consistent. It's pretty steady. So,
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
and I like one thing I like on investing for myself. So when people are like, yes, if it goes up, that's nice. If it goes down, well, that's not great, but it doesn't affect my checkbook in anything in the short term. It was never a short-term deal.
It was all, yeah, it was all cash flow anyway, like you said.
It
So,
was
I'm going
all
to
cut.
encourage folks to stay tuned the next segment. John's going to have some more great information with us about real estate. One more time, your Cincinnati event. Time, location.
Yeah, we are November 9th and 10th in Cincinnati, Ohio. Go to johnburley.com. It is the first event I've done in this part of the country in over 20 years, literally. So we've got a weekend event, full packed. Also, a couple of my Central Club members will be there. So if you want to meet people who own hundreds of properties, come to the event.
Awesome. Stay tuned in the next segment. We got more great real estate information from John Burley.
This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7 to 8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference, and we have a great guest today, John Burley, real estate expert, investor, real-world practitioner. We always love having you on the show, John, because you always have great information. So welcome.
Oh, thanks, my friend. It is great to be here. I'm looking forward to this segment. We got a lot of exciting real estate to talk
We've
about.
got a lot of great stuff to go on. And, you know, we get going. So before I forget, we have a joint event. This is something first time ever. Saturday, January 18th in Phoenix, 9 to 5. We don't have the location yet, but we're going to be sharing a financial and real estate event. And you'll be sharing information. I'll be sharing. I'm excited to work with you, John.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. The advance response has been incredible, you know, we'll be letting everybody know how to book a ticket. You want to do it right away, because you know seats will be filled and it'll be closed, and we're going to have an extraordinarily powerful.
That'll be awesome. So I got a couple of questions for you, John. What about somebody today looking at buying a home because interest rates are changing? Should they buy something now? Should they wait a little? Your opinion? What do you think?
Great question. And look, family home, contrary to what a lot of people think, for the middle class and upper middle class, not the ultra wealthy, but middle class and upper middle class, it is still, literally speaking, one of the greatest investments they ever make. And I know there's a lot of influencers and people out there who, quite frankly, my point of view, don't know very much. All I have to do is listen to them talk to know so. And anybody who is a high-end practitioner would agree with me. They have a million followers. And followers doesn't mean you know what the heck you're talking about. It just means you're really good at getting followers. You know, people are like, oh, that's not true. People don't own their homes. Okay, well, the reality is the US Census numbers from 2012 to 2022, 40% of the single family homes in America are owned free and clear by mom and dad. So Wall Street didn't buy America. It's crock, guys. The 65% of all the homes, single family homes, condos, townhomes, et cetera, in America are owned by a mommy and daddy or a version thereof, singles, all the different types of couples that exist today. But 65% of the homes are owned by the homeowner who live in the home. 40% of all the homes are free and clear. Wall Street, and so that means 35% of the homes are rentals. Of the 35% of the homes that are rentals, Wall Street owns 3%. That's it. They own it. That's a big chunk, but it is a very small percentage. But the biggest number that I think people should be grabbing on, if you don't own your home or you do own your own home, work on a plan and a model to pay it off. I've been blessed in my life to serve over 1,000 families that were worth 10 million to billions, and 98% of them in their 50s or by the 60s at the very latest, the core assets, the single family home, the business, the manufacturing plant, et cetera, were all free and clear. They paid it off. It gives you so much power. Geez, for just regular people, geez, what would your budget be like if we could get rid of your house payment? So I would say looking for a home is do this. Don't do the mistake most people do, which is listen to their accountant about tax deductions for your home. Most people don't even get the tax deductions because the standard itemized deduction is greater than your interest. So you're not even going to get a home interest deduction. Most people, agreed?
IRS came out says it's 94-95% of Americans take the standard deduction, which means they do not get the mortgage deduction.
Right.
So that's according to the IRS.
Yeah, because the standard deduction is so high that for a regular working family, you're not going to do itemized deductions. So you're not buying it for that. So you don't need to pay a bunch of money in interest for deductions because you're not deducting it anyhow.
It's really only for business owners anymore.
Yeah. So the reality is that here's the mistake too many people make with their home. It's a first home. It's a second. It's a starter home. It's a slight upgrade home. And because they're approved for a $900,000 mortgage, they buy the $900,000 home without thought of, wow, if something happened, if there was an oopsie, if there was a little bit of market change, if I lost my job, can I still pay this max payment? And the answer is no. Look, if you're approved for a $900,000 loan, you should probably be looking at $600,000 homes with the idea, this is my starter home. This is maybe my second home. I'm going to buy this home. I'm going to move in. I'm going to take advantage of the interest rates having come down a little bit. I'm going to get a home and I can afford. I'm going to move in and live. I'm going to build my life. And then as I start to pay the home down and as it goes up in value, I can then upgrade into a nicer home. The whole thing with the big crash that happened around housing in '08, and it was a knee-jerk reaction by the Obama administration. I do believe their intents were good, but the reality is they changed the rules to make it harder to own a home with Dodd-Frank because they believed the problem was too many Americans owned a home. I don't think that was a problem at all. And this is America. I mean, for God's sake, this is America. The dream's to own your own home. I think the problem was they let them buy too much home. I mean, FHA right now has a 57.999% debt-to-income ratio loan. Under Dodd-Frank, it is predatory. If I made that loan, I would have my assets would be seized and the penalties would put me out of business. It's predatory. FHA and VA loans are predominantly predatory. I think, you can solve the regular people not owning a home crisis, and it is in America right now. You simply go, okay, Phoenix, the median's like $450,000. Great. FHA will do a loan up to $450,000, period. Now, why the heck should FHA be paying for $800,000, $900,000 loans? Why should us subsidize somebody buying an upper middle class home? We shouldn't. It should be what it was intended to be, a starter home, a first home, a get your family a home who you otherwise couldn't own a home, and then do the common sense underwriting that we've always done. DTI is 33%. If you take home $6,000 a month after taxes, your house payment for it to work consistently can't be more than $2,000. So I would encourage people, get that home if you don't own one. Become a homeowner. It is, when you look at the actual statistics, not the hype on the internet, the actual statistics. And as you know, Ference, as a planner, most people who are millionaires, multimillionaires, and above that, one of the common characteristics is they own the family home, and over 10 or 15 years, they had a plan to pay it off free and clear. Which then gives them such power down the road in the later years. It's like, wow, I can do a reverse mortgage. I can sell my home and downsize. I can simply have a nice home that's free and clear that we can still afford to live in. So I would really recommend you do it. And I think the FHA, it should be like, look, 2% fixed rate up to the median in the area where you live, only for those loans, not for anybody else. Everybody else is going to pay 5 or 6 or 7, whatever it is. This is starting and make best. You're going to live in the sucker for 5 years. If you want really cool government money, you can't turn it into a rental in a year. You can't move out of it and sell it for a profit. The taxpayers, everybody listening right now, we pay taxes to help people own a home with programs like the FHA. So let people get helped. Give them a low interest rate. Make the debt-to-income ratio 33%, no more. Tie it to the median and the local. So obviously in Seattle, it's going to be higher than it's going to be in Tulsa. But just do it local and make it a real program. And then you have to live there for 5 years. If you move out early, you have to give some of the profits back to the government because you didn't do the deal. The deal was for you to own a home, not for you to flip a house.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we had you in charge of FHA or those programs?
I don't know if I'd take the job, but if I could do what I wanted to do. Yeah, we could, you know, just like with you, Ferris, with many of us, we could go in and do some really big changes in a couple minutes. Now, whether anybody listening and do it is another story.
Right.
President Trump wants to, I've met him. I wrote a book with him.
Right.
If he wants to call me for that job, he should. I thought he should have put Ben in charge, Dr. Carson in charge of medical and put a real estate guy in charge of real estate. I'm not saying that should have been me, but it should have been a real estate guy. Because boy, the government programs, the intentions were so good. I mean, what FHA did, you know, it was incredible. I mean, it literally made homeownership more viable in America than in any other country in the world. What the VA program did for the quote unquote boys coming home from the war, I mean, it changed that generation. I mean, they literally went from young Americans were renters and were going to be renters most of their lives, if not their entire lives, to instantly like, yeah, for a buck, boys, for what you did, you can all own a home. And it changed the face of America. It's amazing. I love those government programs. They're just so far off track right now.
And that's the problem that typically happens, unfortunately, over time.
Yeah. And the FHA, I mean, for those of you guys who are looking for your own home, if you can get into that FHA loan, it's a 3% down loan, but the reality is most major cities in America right now have programs to help with the down payment, and what they consider to be low income and moderate income, quite frankly, isn't. I mean, it's solid middle class can get homes for 0 to 3% down as a non-vet. There's some great programs out there. And in most cases today, with rent catching up, because rents have been so far behind for so long in the last 5-6 years, all rents did was catch up. I'm sorry if you're renting and you think rents exploded. They literally just caught up because they were too low. If you take the emotions out, like we were talking earlier in the show, and go right to the facts, the truth. So if you don't own a home and you want to own a home, I would recommend buying a home that you could afford, probably 2/3 of what you've been approved for on the loan. Don't let your DTI go above 33%, 3-to-1, no matter what.
That's the debt to income ratio you're talking about.
Yeah, the income ratio. Yeah. So, and the simple, you know, if you take home $6,000 after taxes, you can afford $2,000 for a mortgage. Because if you own a, things go wrong. They just do. You need a little buffer there. So don't make it so tight, and don't pay for that extra 200 square feet that you don't need. Get what you need. It's a starter home. It's a first home. It's maybe a second home. Get what you need and you can afford. Take advantage of the interest rates being down a little bit. And the great program out there, your own home.
I've shared this for years now, John, and it ties in what you were talking about earlier is, like you said, you get approved for the $900,000 loan, and everybody involved, from the mortgage broker, the real estate agent, the seller, wants you to buy the $900,000 home because they get paid a higher commission, right?
Yeah.
Where you should be buying the $600,000 home in that case.
Right. It was during the last big crash, the poster child was this lady, and she was a minority, and she lived in Virginia, and she drove a bus in Washington, D.C. And this is 2008 numbers. I forget exactly, but she made like $45,000 a year. And she had bought a home with an $860,000 mortgage. And the show, it was like one of these 60 Minutes. I'm supposed to feel sorry for this lady. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't. I mean, I empathize. She's losing her home. But there's no way she could have paid for it. And most people would consider me a wealthy man. And I've never had an $860,000 mortgage on a single family home in my entire damn life. I couldn't imagine being that stupid. If you want a home that's really expensive, well, then save the money up and buy the damn thing. Start out with a regular home you can afford. Keep it well within your means. Don't worry about what your neighbors think, because quite frankly, all they're worried about is what you think. I mean, a really good friend of mine, Don, that you've met, he always says that, look, if you realize how little other people think about you, you wouldn't worry about what they think about you, because they're not.
Well, John, thinking, It's always fun chatting with you. We're going to have John the next last segment. If they want to attend your Cincinnati event, where do they go for more information, John? When and where?
Go to johnburley.com, johnburley.com. Tickets are going fast, so get your tickets, get booked in, and we'll see you in Cincinnati.
Awesome. Stay tuned to the last segment. We got some more great real estate information from John. We're going to talk about it, real estate investors, next.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including your personal bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you do want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. And yes, you will reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. We have a very special guest today. We're finishing up with John Burley, real estate expert, educator, real world practitioner. And I love having John on the show because he's just so full of information. So welcome, John.
It's great to be here and enjoy the show so far and looking forward to the last portion.
Well, we were just talking on the break here about what happened with the hurricane with North Carolina and all that type of stuff. You're a real estate expert. I mean, what's your opinion on what's going on with all this?
So I do believe strongly that when you get acts of God, the federal government, because the state governments in today's world are no longer in the position to do it for the most part, the federal government, North Carolina, wow. You know, 2 inches of rain, 24 inches of rain, rather, was it once in a 1,000-year event? I mean, this is a catastrophic act of God. Those people should, there should be monies, and those people should get relief. Whatever, however many hundreds of millions of dollars are needed to help those people rebuild, because, I mean, they're not going to have flood insurance. Where they're at, this isn't coast North Carolina. They don't have hurricane insurance. They don't even have hurricane insurance available. The one that I think is just, again, just such a lack of common sense is, you know, about a year ago, I was reading this article and vetted it out. It was true. There was this family in Houston who literally six times over 30 years, the federal government gave them a full replacement check for their home that was in a floodplain. The question is, why the hell did they get two checks? Obviously, they should have given them a check and said, hey, you know what? This isn't a floodplain. You can't build a home here. Move. We're not making this buildable anymore. You know, and so I think, first of all, is the government just lack of common sense, just keeps cutting checks to people who shouldn't get them because they shouldn't be there. And then people who are in actual flood zones and in hurricane zones, look, that's part of the cost. If you want to own a home near the coast in, say, Florida, a lot of beautiful homes there, part of that cost is, you know, you have to pay $400 a month for flood and hurricane insurance or whatever that number is. And if you can't afford that, well, then, you know, dang. Again, why should I pay for your home? You know, that's if you're going to live in a hurricane or a flood zone, part of the responsibility of owning a home in that in those zones is you got to pay for the insurance to offset the cost of your bailout. And then if you got an air flood zone, don't let anybody build there. And if it's a repeated hurricane zone, look, I know we're not going to get people to stop building on the coast and wanting to live on the coast. I get that totally. But those properties should just simply cost more money to own because it's not fair for the average American. Wealthy or non-wealthy, anybody who pays taxes, it is not fair to subsidize somebody else's superior lifestyle because that's what it is. It's a subsidy. And nothing in government is free. Like, oh, well, such and such a country has free medical insurance. No, they don't. Everybody pays for it. It's not free. Yes, it's free. In some of those countries where you think it's free, they also pay 50% income taxes. It's not free. There's no free lunch for anybody.
Yeah, I love it. I hate it when the government says government funded. No, there's no such thing as government funded. It's taxpayer funded.
It's taxpayer funded.
Or citizen funded.
Yeah. And you know, and so I think, you know, first of all, the North Carolina non-hurricane, non-floodplain people, oh my God. If you want to talk about a need for a bailout, yeah. And unfortunately, most of the money is missing because they got put into other areas that, that the administration deemed were appropriate.
Well, it's called
I don't.
misappropriation of funds, which last I heard, that was illegal, right?
Yeah, but the federal government's exempt from most of their own laws and rules. It, you
Course.
know, it, it's like, with investors, the federal government, the Freddie Mae, Fannie Mae, USDA, Ginnie Mae, VA, the alphabet soup, as it's referred to, are the most predatory lenders in America. So predatory, in fact, that when they did the big bill Dodd-Frank, that went live in 14 under the Obama administration, they literally specifically exempted the federal government from any of their own rules and regs around predatory lending because their loans are predominantly and mostly predatory. Yeah, investors right now, I gotta tell you, all this noise, all this negativity, this is your nirvana. Fear is the, this is what's astounding. And this is the shift. Look, after a 2008 to 12 timeframe, the predominant fear, generally speaking, for the next decade plus is always going to be fear-based. And that just goes back in history, the other four big crashes we've had in the history of America. And that makes sense. It is amazing to me, though, how regular people who literally have almost no involvement financially with the things that are going on, the big picture stuff, because you can't do anything about it. It's not going to change, and it's not affecting their lives currently, literally in any way, who are living in such a massive fear. Well, I can't buy a house till the interest rates go down. Okay, you do know that long-term interest rates in America are just a little above 9%, that from a historical point of view, if you were to take out the last 20 years, rates right now are super, super low. I literally, guys, I started investing in 1978, and from 78 to fourth quarter in 93, interest rates were above 10%. I didn't see single digit, and it was 9.75 loans until I had been in the business for 15 years. If you're properly trained, I mean, the cash flow numbers are extraordinary right now. Rents have caught up from being 20 years behind. I don't think we're looking at the massive rent increases every year that we've done the last 6 years, but we're still doing good rent increases. We've got still have the greatest loans that on the face of the world. I mean, if you don't know this, America is the only country in the world that has a 30-year fixed rate loan. No other country has it, not even close. And it went into effect in 1933 is when they drafted it. In 34, I did a bunch of research. It was part of the New Deal. The FHA loan didn't catch on right away, but it was part of the New Deal. And there was no basis for a 30-year loan because no one had ever done a 30-year loan in the history of the planet. And for whatever reason, this guy, and from when I looked through it literally from his own notes and words that I've been able to find, going back all that time, literally it came to him. He called it a premonition from God. So literally, it was an act of God. America, here's your blessing in real estate. We're giving you a 30-year fixed rate loan, meaning you can lock in your risk of your payment, the interest rate risk, which is one of the biggest risks investors face. You can lock it in for 30 years. It is the greatest gift. I've invested in thousands of properties in other countries, as you know. America, and over there, I mean, I really have other countries, I really have to worry about an interest rate risk because it's a huge difference than in America. Because America, even if the interest rates go up or go down, I can buy today, lock in a house, lock in a property that is positive cash flow and guarantee my debt service for the next 15, 30 years, whatever term I want to take. I can pay it down early if I so desire, which most people, as they get older, they pay their portfolios off. I mean, contrary to most of the stuff I see on social media, you start out leveraged and then you don't re-leverage your properties over the years and decades. You do the opposite. You do what real businesses do. You deleverage. So at the end, you have a whole pile of properties that are free and clear, just pumping out cash flow every month. And so I love the cash flow plays in real estate investing right now. Last decade, 8, 10 years, huge push for the short-term transactions with the greed motive, get rich quick. Get rich quick's never worked, never has, never will. And if you're listening right now, I just want to ask you one question. Do you know anybody who got rich out of nowhere on one big deal and kept the money? And I think every listener is doing what you and I are doing right now, Ferris, shaking their head because it's like,
No,
no, I've actually asked that
that's the
question.
tricky part, and kept the money.
And kept money. I've asked that question live in front of over 1 million people in seats. So not just on shows where I don't get response. I never had anybody do it. Well, so and so won the lottery. Yeah. And we're, oh, well, yeah, they didn't win the $1 billion lottery. They only won 80 million. Only 80 million. Well, I feel bad for them. But yeah, no, 5, 6 years later, John, all the money was gone. Yeah. So Most people are going out there trying to beat sellers up on their price, when the sellers don't want to give the price, and you got too many people trying to do the same thing in the same place, get rich quick, when the reality is real estate's a long-term product. I mean, it was built for long-term. The financing's 30 years, for gosh sakes. It's a long-term product. And right now, we literally, over the last 4 years, I have never seen better cash flow numbers in my career. I mean, properties that we used to work hard for $400 a month profit, which is great, are $800 to $1,200. Most properties we do today, we make over $1,000 a month cash flow. And so really in the real estate, you know, and then obviously, this is the cool thing. We get great cash flow. So there's an income stream today, which gives you the freedom to leave your job earlier, gives you the freedom to, you know, maintain and upgrade your lifestyle, gives you the freedom to pay off bad debt, all the things that you want. And then you also get the really cool tax benefits, which real estate has the best tax literally of any investment available to a regular or an upper class person. It literally has the best tax benefits. And historically, long-term, the growth rate is extraordinary. You know, some places in the country, if you're in a very low-priced area, well, obviously your growth rate is lower. That's why your prices are lower. But your cash flow is usually better. So there's just so many good things around that medium. And the biggest thing I like even more in today's world is the safety and the security I get, the protection I get. Because it's a long-term transaction, it moves slowly. So the markets don't crash overnight. And if they do go down, I still have my income stream coming in every month. And all I have to do is just take my $1,000 a month per property and wait for the market to come back up.
And if people want to learn more about how to do this, John, you have an event coming up in Cincinnati.
Yeah, we are super excited. So we literally just do our weekend, our three-day events. I do three a year in Phoenix, Arizona to the public. It's been 20 years, and we're going to be doing an event more towards the East Coast. We're going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio on November 9th and 10th in Cincinnati. You can go to johnburley.com, johnburley.com. You can click on the link on the top on the slider, get more information about the event, book your ticket. It is going to be sold out within a couple weeks. So if you want to come, you need to do it quick. We've had just a massive first response, literally from one email. We're 50% booked. And we'd love to be there. We're going to show you how to raise money to expand your portfolio. We're going to show you how to do quick cash deals. We're also going to show you how to really maximize the income streams. And we're going to show you how, we call it the Burley Matrix, how literally on our internal rate of return is 35 to 70% factually today and has been for over 35 years. And we're going to show you exactly how thousands and thousands of our students have done the exact same thing for themselves.
John, thank you for joining us today. Awesome information. If you're interested in more, go to johnburley.com. Like he said, it'll be posted on our website also at yourpersonalbank.com. And John, I'm also excited about working with you, doing the first time ever, you and I doing a financial and real estate event together in Phoenix, Saturday, January 18th. That's going to be a lot of fun too.
It's going to be amazing, my friend. And that'll be up really, really soon, the event location and the details. So make sure you get those tickets booked in. I have no doubt that with your amazing following, that event will be sold out very quickly.
I would think so. So again, thank you for joining us. And as always, stay tuned next week to the Your Personal Bank Show with some more great information. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
Contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice. Professional advice regarding your situation should be sought if required. Some products discussed may have limitations and not be available in all states. Excessive unpaid loans may affect performance.
Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank Show hosted by Ferentz Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above to the tiniest insects in the soil below, you take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests, and without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.